You see where your business can go. To get there, you may need
another 10 trucks.
At Century Insurance, we put more than 115 years of industry experience to work to help protect you as you
launch a new delivery service
or
expand into a new region
and reach your business goals. Century, right by you. Property and casualty coverages and underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday to you all. Welcome to this recorded only edition of Fantasy NBA Today. I'm Dan Vespers, and this is a SportsEthos.com presentation. I warned you, those that were expecting to see this thing live on some sort of video feed, I warned you that there would be episodes where just there weren't time. There wasn't time to do the live video thing. And today is one of those days due to, you know, one kid being on spring break and just missing time and doctor's appointments and all sorts of stuff. And so when those days come and we have to record the show in a couple of little chunks and edit it together, and you just can't do it live in that effect. You know, I can't pause a YouTube feed for a half an hour and then come back again. I mean, I guess I could, but ain't nobody gonna watch a dead screen for 30 minutes. So, recorded only today. Special gift for those that listen on traditional channels, and I will, of course, remind everybody over on social media that this is one of those days, and it will not be the only one. I had what I thought would be kind of a fun thought for today and tomorrow. Because it's the off season, and because we like to go through lessons learned on the podcast, and you guys hear me wax and wane and on drone on and on and on about all the things that I think you ought to learn, but how often do I actually come and say, what do you think it's time to learn? And so today, well, late last night, I put out a tweet into the universe that said, what lesson did you learn this fantasy basketball season? Anybody that was following over there had an opportunity to reply. And I got to say, considering it's the fantasy offseason, there were far more replies than I expected, something like 80 to 100 of them. That's awesome. Love that you guys are still actively engaged in this stuff. And so today, and probably tomorrow, we're going to go through some of the replies, and I'm going to express my opinion on it. I'm going to try to throw some names out there on the feed. So hopefully those that replied knew that this was a possibility. I want to give you guys some credit if it's a good one or a bad one. And we're going to break them down here on the show. So that's what we got going on at the beginning of this week. We'll also talk a little bit of playoff basketball. Of course, we slipped that in towards the end. We do have a series that's done. First one wrapped up. Did you guys think this was going to be the one? Most people didn't. But let's start by looking at some of the replies. These are not sorted in any particular way. This is just how Twitter organized them, which is not chronologically. It just bounces around. I believe that Twitter bounces the ones to the top from folks that are premium or that I follow back, I believe. Yeah, that's how that works. Anyway, so we'll go through it, and that's the order that they're in. It's not for any other reason. So Cody Mallory, former host of our Nets podcast here at Sports Ethos, says, injuries ruin it. Well, he's not wrong, but Cody, have you tried Roto? Because a slight ankle tweak, somebody that misses 3-4 ball games, doesn't really change much in your Roto league in the way that it can completely detonate your head-to-head league. It's kind of what we've been talking about in terms of how can we fix head-to-head. It's usually how do we deal with the silly season and how do we deal with injuries. That's always the story. And it's probably not going anywhere, so we need to keep making adjustments on it. And, you know, easiest adjustment, play Roto. Weekly games cap for head-to-head, that's a possibility, as we talked about already. So, yes and no. World-famous poker player, Chris Moneymaker, that's kind of cool. Hey, Chris, said that the fantasy season needs to be 2 weeks shorter. Too many stars resting late. Chris, you're not wrong. We've talked about that on the show as well. I actually believe the fantasy season needs to be 4 weeks shorter, as we talked about on our episode last week on adjustments that need to be made to head-to-head. We saw guys going into rest mode with about 3.5 weeks to go in the regular season this year. That, again, of course, not a guarantee that it's going to happen the same way next season, but that's what we have to base our assessment on, what just happened, and tweak from there. I think you guys are starting to get the idea of how we're going to work our way through this. Malin says, don't ignore threes and free throws in Roto. You're correct. I would also argue don't ignore field goal in Roto either. Winning percentages in Roto is a huge kind of trick. It's not a secret. It's not even a trick. It's just something that people don't pay attention to. But you could have a bad team and you can still find your way to the top of the Roto ranks by just getting 20 points. 12-team league we're talking about, you know, top three, basically, in both percentages, and you're off and running. Someone out there might just clobber you in some of the counting stats, and they can't figure out how you're able to keep pace. That's how. Our very own John Mosale says, nothing matters, and it's 98% luck. Wait, I already knew that. That's not correct. John is a sarcastic twit. We love you, John. Now, things do matter. This seems like another person who had his season detonated by guys resting in head-to-head playoffs. But, I mean, Roto, it's like a lot of it is who you draft. And a lot of that is very much something that you get to dig into. But, you know, another case for Roto there. Hyperman says, don't take rookie point guards in your redraft league. They'll be available months later when they start doing what you thought they would earlier. Yep. I got nothing to add to that one. That's a lesson. That's a show we've done before. Steve says, end your season in early March. Yeah. I think mid-March probably gets the job done. As we said, I think about 4 weeks early, so that's like about March 15th or so. This season, that would have been, I think, March 17th. And that would have gotten the job done. Ads Chan says, trust yourself and drop those players analysts keep telling us to hold on to, even though they've stunk for a while. Missed out on many free agents and waiver guys as a result. I kind of disagree with this one. I actually think that in competitive leagues, patience is actually much more important than spur-of-the-moment drops. Because so like first week and a half of the season, that might not be true because guys pop up that there's usually like one or two guys that analysts missed that pop up right after the season begins. But as the rest of the season goes, you can look at the leaderboard this year. You can look at like the fantasy top 100. There are very few guys that were not drafted that were also not picked up in the first 2 weeks of the year. The best waiver wire guys floating around out there, if you want to call them that, would be, you know, people say it's Jalen Johnson, but the Brewski 150 had him super high, so he got drafted in a lot of spots. But even if you want to call him a waiver wire guy, he was an ad after the first game of the season at the very latest because he had a big first ball game. Alex Caruso, who was not a huge surprise. He was good right out of the gate also. Some of the other ones that popped up. Grayson Allen was good after a week or two. So that one came around pretty fast. Now we're already into the 70s. Dante DiVincenzo, who really got cooking once injuries started to happen in New York. He was hovering around the edge of the top 100. So that's one maybe you missed out on, like if you didn't move on DiVincenzo fast enough. But he also kind of ramped up slowly into a, hey, this guy's okay kind of role in like 24 minutes a game. And then guys got hurt and he started doing a whole bunch more. So that was a little bit of a different beast. And that's kind of it in terms of guys that like full season waiver wire pickups that weren't drafted or added in the first week or two. Do you want to put Coby White in there? I mean, he finished at 93, by the way. Everybody's like, Coby White, out of the year. Nah, I mean, okay, if you needed points, yeah. Not to take anything away from Coby. He had a good fantasy season, but he was number 93 on a per-game basis. That's decent, but it's not a game-changer. Jalen Suggs, 103, was an ad in the first couple of weeks. So I actually disagree with this sentiment. There are very few mid-season ads that just rock the rest of the way. You could look at like ranks over the past 3 months. That might be another place to try to pull out these names. DiVincenzo being one of them, but of course that was injury related. We already talked about Caruso and Jalen Johnson, John Collins. He was generally drafted. Isaiah Hartenstein. That was an obvious one when Mitchell Robinson went down. Ayo Dosunmu. That was an obvious one when both Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams went down. These are injury related. Cam Thomas. Awful for a while, got bumped into the starting lineup. I mean, what do we, and even, and he was number 83. So I actually don't agree with this one. I don't think there are that many guys that pop up midseason that aren't really obvious someone got hurt kind of plays. And so then you're like, all right, well, what am I doing here? There's somebody you can drop on your team in that spot. Brandon says, Roto might be better if you want to win with the best drafted team. You're right, Brandon. Robert says, the season Kuminga ruined. I'm not sure I completely follow this one. Jonathan Kuminga was number 169 for the year. He was okay in the second half. He had like a month-long stretch where he was pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Roderick says, I lost Embiid and still won my head-to-head league. All that matters is streaming week to week. Yeah, and that is the problem with head-to-head. Streaming is way too important. And obviously, we did shows on it here because of how important it is. But it's a shame that that's what makes head-to-head what it is right now, especially the playoffs. And yeah, you can stream crazy during the regular season. It's helpful. You might end up dropping a player you regret dumping later because of it. But that's why I think we need to make some tweaks to head-to-head, because it shouldn't be just about who can jam out the number, the best games played, or who gets a lucky scheduling break and blah, blah, blah. Gurop says, do not draft Jeremy Grant. That is very true for head-to-head. It's a little bit less true for Roto, because you know he's going to shut it down. Like, there's, you know, not going to surprise you there. He's number 120 this year and missed a lot of ball games. So either way, it didn't work, didn't really pan out. He was hurt. Portland was weird about who was getting shots. He didn't bother to rebound, which, again, like, this is a guy who mailed it in this season. And that's the real problem, is that I think he's tired of where he's at. So that's a pretty good strategy. You probably shouldn't draft Jeremy Grant. Seth, he says, blocks are king. You know me, I love big man stats. Blocks, boards, field goal percent. You can, and this is again more Roto than head-to-head, but you can do a lot of damage quickly, especially in two of those three categories. So I agree with you, Sethy, and then I'll add on top of it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Sentry, right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Sentry Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit Sentry.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The anti-stand man says Jordan Poole is not him. This is true. And that's why we dodged him on Fantasy Draft Night. He was not a guy we were targeting here on Fantasy NBA Today. Victor says Victor is going to be the best fantasy player ever. Yeah, I mean, he's got a shot at it. Wemby, number six this season. Second half of the year, he was number three, which I think is still going to surprise a lot of people. Like, how in the hell was anybody ahead of Wembanyama from January on? Victor averaged 4.2 blocks. Well, he was bad in percentages and turnovers. He had three categories where he was a negative. So as elite and hyper supersonic elite as he was in a few spots, he had these big gaps in his game that the other two guys in front of him didn't have. Those guys that were in front of Wemby, and there's a little bit of a, I guess you could say he was number two. Jokic was the one that was in front, because Jokic doesn't have a hole in his game. And even if he's not quite as good in a couple of stats, Jokic is just generally across the board better. Well, does that mean Wemby's not going to get better? Well, if Wembanyama can fix either of his two percentages, he likely moves into that number one spot. That's basically as far away as he is. And that's not to say that, you know, field goal percent needs to go from a small negative to a neutral, or free throw from a small negative to a neutral. He probably needs to turn them into a positive. I don't see the turnovers dropping super fast. And it probably comes down from 4.1, maybe into the threes. The other stuff for him feels pretty repeatable, even the crazy block numbers, because he's just that big. Maybe we see teams attack him a little bit differently in future years, but, like, I don't think that's a number that comes down. And frankly, you might see his minutes go up over the next, call it 2 to 3 years, maybe not next year, but as the Spurs start to focus on winning again. Best fantasy player ever? That might be a reach, but certainly has a chance to be number one in the next 2 years. Miggy says defense wins championships. I don't know if this has to do with fantasy or reality, but yeah, steals and blocks, again, just like Roto. And head-to-head, like, that's a way that you can win a week even with a game's disadvantage, is those volatile, low-volume categories. Steals, blocks, that are not so hinged on how many. And yes, obviously they're tied, they're correlated to how many games played you've got, but if you have guys that are just really good at those, you could have a lower number of games played and still kind of squeeze them out. And then you try to win percentages, steals, blocks, turnovers. You can basically steal a week from someone even if you should have been losing. Basil says, go with your gut. I drafted Wemby in the second round. Others thought I reached. I won the championship. Yeah, he ended up working out. A lot of people are going to say that Wemby won them their championship. I mean, getting a second rounder who ends up as a first rounder is nice. And Victor was obviously amazing. But to your credit, Basil, you likely also had, or Basil, you likely also had a good team around him. Just Wembanyama was not going to win you the championship. You know, again, a first rounder from the second round is pretty common in fantasy. You probably had someone like Maxey, or I don't know, someone else that also was a leaper. Like, yes, it was good to have Wemby, but he's not going to do it himself. Thetty says, trade often injured top 15 guys at their peak. Easier said than done. Yeah, if you can do that, easier said than done. Jordan says in deep leagues, maximizing games played in the playoffs is not worth passing on the best free agent. Yeah, that's actually a really good point, Jordan. So hyper streaming games is really more of a 12, 10, 12, 14 team kind of activity. Because in a deep league, you're not going to be able to get even a half decent free agent to stream. Like Bruno Fernando is already going to be on a team in a 20-team league or something like that. So now you're really picking up the dregs on these clubs, and they're just not getting you anything. They're getting you 4 points and a rebound. If you can find someone who's useful, they can possibly double that up. Like, you might be able to find somebody who gives you 12 and 5 in a deep league, and that's way better than the guy who plays, you know, 11 minutes and might give you 10 and 4 over two games. But in a 12-teamer, usually you can find somebody whose games played outweigh what they do. Chuck says, get the first pick and pick Jokic. Yeah, that helps. Jokic isn't going to win a league on his own this year. He was obviously very, very helpful because of how durable he was again. But Anthony Davis towards the end of the first round was a big win. Shea in those top three or four was a nice win. Like, there were other teams that could win even without Jokic, where, you know, 2 years ago, I think is the season I'm thinking of, you basically, if you had Jokic, you basically top two, like guaranteed. Matthew Gorski says deep dynasty leagues are the best. God love you. You're probably right, but in the offseason, my brain just needs a rest. Luckily, we've got Mark Camaro over here who can handle all your dynasty needs. He's Mac Attack. What's the number? I can never remember the number known. Mac Attack 145 is Mark's Twitter handle if you want some sweet dynasty stuff from Sports Ethos. Seiko says, never draft or trade for Donovan Mitchell ever again. Yeah, that's bad advice. Sorry, but not to pick on you. And yes, Donovan did miss 23 ball games this year. And yeah, he misses a handful of games every season. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 20. But like in Roto, if he's getting draft, if he drops for some reason, then you do need to think about it. Because like as bad as he was from a games played standpoint, by totals this year, he was still number 29. That's how good he was per game. And in Roto, you know, if you get a guy, if he falls towards the end of the second round, early third, then there's upside built in case he does play more than 60 ball games. You know, he got to top 30 in 59 games this year. If he plays five more games, he probably gets to around his ADP or pretty close to it. And then everything beyond that is just gravy. So I don't agree with this. It's going to come down to where he gets drafted, and he'll probably go too early given the spotted, call it, injury history. But if he gets to around 70 games, which is very doable for him, 68 to 72 games, something in that range, he probably ends up as a draft day hit. So I wouldn't say never. Never say never. Yeah, I know. Folks, please do remember, while we say never say never, going online without ExpressVPN is like using your smartphone without a protective case. I have one. It's cheap, mind you. Protective case. Black. It's got a little rubber around the edges. I wanted one that didn't make my phone feel that much bigger. I would not use my phone without it. Because most of the time, if I'm holding my phone in my hand, it's going to stay in my hand. But all it takes is that one moment when your hand, your fingers are a little dry, or whatever it is, it's cool outside, you don't have a good grip on it, and zip, boom, donezo. $1,000 phone down the toilet. Whereas instead here, if you got a, by the way, you should also use a screen cover. You get like $20, $30 worth of this stuff. It's going to last you for a couple of years, and it'll probably save you a grand. Because my screen cover has some little nicks on it, but they send those three at a time. That's like ExpressVPN when you use the internet. Because look, every time you connect to an unencrypted network, so restaurant, hotel, airport, whatever, your data is not secured. It's not like you're at home. Any hacker on that same network, you're just sitting in Starbucks, sipping your Joe, they can gain access to and steal your personal information, passwords, financial details, whatever. And it's not that hard for them. A really smart 12-year-old has done it. All they need is a little bit of cheap hardware. and they could sell it for a grand. They steal your info, they sell it for a grand on the dark web. They're just sitting there and make tens of thousands of dollars every day if you're in the wrong coffee bean. This is why you should use ExpressVPN. Because it would take a hacker, a supercomputer, or a hacker using a supercomputer over a billion years. They don't live that long, I'm told, to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's easy. All you do is turn on the app and click one button. You can use it on a phone, a laptop, a tablet, whatever, so you can stay secure at home, on the go. It's just easy to use and protects you from all this kind of stuff. And I gotta say, like, there was a long time where I thought, who wants my stuff? And I just, my mom just had her identity stolen. This is real. This is, I'm not making this up. Someone opened up a bank account in her name. We wouldn't have known it, except they emailed, or they sent her an actual letter in the mail that was like, hey, we can't contact you on the email that you provided. And it's like, who the hell is this? My mom should have been using ExpressVPN. My kid's Nana, she's got to get on it. I like ExpressVPN because it's easy. If it took a lot of work or technical know-how, I wouldn't. But you turn it on, it does its thing by clicking one button. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/hoopball. That's ExpressVPN, ExpressVPN.com/hoopball. And you get an extra 3 months free on your subscription. ExpressVPN.com/hoopball. Check them out today. Where did we leave off, friends? I know. Dickie Funk says either go for surefire value or go for upside. Safe guys like Jason Tatum, LaMelo, not a safe guy. Jimmy Butler just didn't work out or may have peaked. I would argue that Jason Tatum was fine this year. Jimmy Butler is more of a roto play, has been for a while because he knew he was going to miss a bunch of ball games. From per game standpoint, Butler ended up doing like generally fine. He worked his way up the board by the end of the year, but he did miss games like usual, just played in 61 of them. That's kind of the target for him. We got off to a slow start too, came on late, but the steals weren't quite where they were in the past. But I think he'll be fine if you're in a games cap format. LaMelo is not a safe guy, right, so I disagree with that part of it. Rommel says the importance of a five-game week and the greatness of Luka. Yeah, five-game week for a superstar in a playoffs really does help a lot. And Luka was really, really good this year. He finally took that leap that folks had been predicting for four straight seasons. Finally happened. 34, 9, and 10 with four three-pointers. And didn't totally tank your free throw percent. Kept it at 79% all year. That was what it took. So yeah, Luka was great this year. I'll admit it. He was like around where his ADP was, so it wasn't like you blew the doors off the building. But if you draft a guy in the top five and they finish in the top five, that's a win. Hell of an eight cat guy, though. Gonchi says, don't draft LaMelo Ball. By the way, this pops up a couple of times. I mean, I'm generally in agreement with it. The Ball brothers do seem to have some issues going on. Now, if Charlotte is not in full tank mode, that would obviously help a little bit. Let's see where he gets drafted next year. I'm generally inclined to agree on this one, but at some point he's going to have a healthy year and he's going to get underdrafted when it happens. We don't have to try to be the smartest person in the room and draft him every time until it hits, because there could be another loss or two on the way, but ADP is going to play a role in that. Hoopzilla says it's best to hold off on the use of limited ads until as close as tip to possible. I think this is more the case in your fantasy playoffs, but yes, if you make a move at, you know, 12:01 a.m., there's at least like a 10 to 15% shot that your guy is going to end up out in the fantasy playoffs, because everybody just is out in the playoffs. I don't think that's quite the case during the regular season. Most guys play. Like, if you haven't heard about some injury the day before, a lot of times you're pretty safe in, like, you know, early December. The injuries are reported better. In the fantasy playoffs in late March, early April, guys just get ruled out. All of a sudden, you know, an hour and a half before the game, so-and-so has, whatever, sore fingernail or something. I still remember Glenn Robinson, big dog, got ruled out for a game because of what they put on the medical board as irritated elbow. This was like 20 years ago now. And I thought, that's a good one. I hope that comes back again. And I haven't seen it since. Irritated elbow. I feel irritated. Seventh Inning Stretch says that the NBA has a problem. The season really doesn't matter, and head-to-head categories just comes down to who isn't hurt or sitting during your playoffs. Try Roto, bud. Or move your playoffs way the hell earlier. The NBA has a small problem. Fantasy basketball has a bigger one because we care more about the games on April 1st than the NBA teams do. And that's just the way it's going to be, because once mathematically teams are either locked in or eliminated, it behooves them to keep their stars healthy for the playoffs or healthy for the following year. Every sport would do it. It's just the way it is. The problem is that fantasy playoffs occur. Our most important weeks happen during the season's least important weeks. Because teams don't really care about the difference between the second and the third seed at the end of the day. So a lot of teams are just not trying that hard the last 2 to 3.5 weeks of the season. And that's not going anywhere. And there's nothing that they can do to change that. So we need to adjust, not them.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NFT James Bubble says, patience, stick with your strategy. It's interesting that that runs in contrast to the other guy who said, no patience. I tend to lean more into the patience side. I'm in more competitive leagues. If you drop somebody that turns out to be worthwhile, that's way worse than picking up the hot dude who usually ends up as trash after 2 weeks. ND says, check the daily leader box every night. Grind the waiver wire. Yep, that's what we do here on the podcast. Totally agree with that one. Mike says, Michael Dunn, take the risky guys in the draft. Harden, Miles Bridges, etc. It's worth the reward. No, because Jordan Poole was a risky guy too, and he was a big wet turd. Yep, that's right. I went there. It has to be the right risks. You know, Harden was getting drafted at 55 by the last weekend before the season in Yahoo Public Leagues. 55! That's not even a risk anymore. Miles Bridges, who I chose not to draft this year, I said, look, I can win without him. And I did, by the way. We had a great season without any Miles Bridges, because I just didn't really want to root for him. I also said, I didn't care if you guys did it. I'm not judging anybody. I just am confident enough that I could win without him. And we did. But he was going at like 85. That's not a risk. Harden at 55 isn't a risk. Honestly, Kawhi near 30 isn't a risk. The risk is taking someone like that early. Would you have taken Harden at 15? That's a risk. You want a risk? I keep thinking of The Simpsons. Here's a knife. Here's a risk. Okay? It's all about what is the risk. If you're taking somebody so late, I think Darius Garland in the early 30s was a risk. Not because of injury, just because of, is he going to be okay? Chet Holmgren was a good risk. Is it a risk or not? Is probably a better way to phrase this than take the risk. Herb says start the playoffs the first week of March. Yeah, I'm good with that. Zed's dead. Says put more... Love it. Whose chopper is this? Put more emphasis on the team the player is on just as much as what the player can offer. For instance, the Nets this year. Yeah, good point. You got to look to make sure that someone's in a good situation. Is the team going to be good, bad? But this is all part of handicapping, you know? Like, player changes venues. Things can get better or worse for them. Coaches matter a little bit. Nick Nurse helped everybody's fantasy value in Philly. That's the type of stuff you know is going to happen. Tibbs is not a big-time fantasy guy because he likes to play defense lineup, but he plays his dudes 38 minutes a game. Grim says, whoever drafts Jokic wins. There's number two for that one. Hugh says, SGA is a good and up-and-coming player. I feel like that's sarcastic because obviously he was number two this year. Yeah, SGA's not bad. We're just going to do one or two more of these because we're around the half an hour mark, so we can put a pin in it and do the other half tomorrow. Carl says, it's okay to drop players for streaming purposes. Yeah, in the right situation. Martin says, don't drop starters. Be patient. Look at Anthony Simons. Simons is a weird example because he ended up playing only 46 games this year, and he was number 95 in 9-cat. Although, in general, I agree with you. Guys with a lot of opportunity should not be parted with quickly. Simons is just maybe not the best example of this, at least for category leagues. Felix says, be bolder at the turn at the first and second round in redraft leagues. Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that one. There was one year where being bold at the turn absolutely ruined fantasy teams, but I also don't know what else you could have done there. It was like 2-3 years ago, the years all blend together in my fantasy brain, where I think it was like Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie maybe, were all going, and Trae Young, were all going at the turn. And the only one of the three that had a good season was Trae Young. Right? Jimmy Butler missed 25 games. His per game rank was fine. Paul George missed 51 games. Ruh-roh. Who was the other one I just said? Was it Kyrie? Yeah, he played 29 games. I think that was the vaccination year. He missed 53 ball games. Those guys all had perfectly good per game numbers, but not one of them could make it through the season. Jimmy Butler in 57 games was the good one. And this was an 82-game season, Oh, no, that was 72. No, that was 82. That was an 82-gamer. Yikes. That was a rough one. If you didn't pick Trae Young in one of your two picks near the turn, or if he went a pick or two earlier, you were done. Absolutely done. Nobody else from that range had even a half-decent season. Nobody. The guys ranked... This is 2021 to 2022. That was the year. First rounders basically were 1 through 10, plus DeJounte Murray. That was the year he went at 40 in San Antonio and blew up. And then Trae Young was the turn guy that did well. Harden was a little low. Time Lord was number 13, remember? That was wild. Tatum, 14. Who actually played in games. Then you got to Butler, Paul George, Van Vliet, who was drafted typically about 10 picks later. Porzingis, who went 30 picks later. Chris Paul was taken 25, 30 picks later. That was one of our wins that year. Booker was number 20. That was right around where he was drafted. LaMelo went earlier. Gobert was 22. This was Halliburton's big jump. Miles Turner, Donovan Mitchell was kind of and then Luka was down at 28. There was just nobody that year that went anywhere near the turn that had success. But we can't let that one year cloud what has generally been a good strategy, which is to take guys that have some per-game upside. So Anthony Davis was a good example of that type of player this year. Kevin Durant had a good season. He went near the turn, finished at number 11. Kyrie missed 20 ball games, yes, but he was number 8 on a per-game basis. Who else was in that range? Booker was fine. He basically hit his ADP. That's a win this season. He was a little bit behind it. Who else was in that range? Domantas Sabonis was down per game, but he was super durable, so that was useful there. The turn was better this year, by and large. So we can't let that one season cloud our judgment, even though it is one that I remember very vividly, because I was great, I'm going to get Kyrie, who's going to be a top 10 per game. I'm going to get Jimmy Butler, who's going to be a top 15 per game. And all I need is for one of them to stay healthy and the other one to be kind of okay. And then, just nobody played any damn ball games. I don't think I went Kyrie that year because everybody knew the vax stuff was going on. Definitely had a lot of Jimmy Butlers, and that was a pain in the rectum. Damn near killed him. Let's talk a little bit about playoff basketball. Phoenix is done. And they are locked into $160 million to their top three guys in perpetuity, basically, at this point. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do. At least they got Grayson Allen coming back. Suns are staring down the barrel of a very rough couple of years unless they can find great health and like fringe type stuff to change their outcome dramatically. But like they got severely outclassed by Minnesota in this series. And, you know, one of those teams is going the right way and the other one is getting older. Oopsies. New York is up 3-1 on Philadelphia. Clippers and Mavs are tied 2-2. Indy up 3-1 on the Milwaukee Bucks, who are without Dame and without Giannis. That's sad. Lakers managed to get one from Denver, which I admit surprised the crap out of me. I thought they were cooked. That series is 3-1. Boston up 2-1 on the Heat. Figured that Boston was done playing with their food, at least for a minute. Thunder about to wipe out the Pels. Or is that one done? That one's done, isn't it? Or is that, are we at 3 games there? I've lost track. Yeah, it's 3-0. It's 3-0. That series is just rolling slowly. And then Orlando-Cleveland's turned out to be a home court series. So, what do we got tonight? Boston is in Miami. Celtics favored by 10.5. I think Miami will play a better ball game here. You know, 10.5 is a lot of points to give, but Boston did just trounce them on Saturday by 20. And they didn't move anything off that one. Boston finished at 188. Total was 205, the posted total. And for Miami, they just, you know, they didn't have the world's greatest three-point shooting night, which is kind of what they need to win a game in this series. Boston was fine, if unspectacular. Figure the series continues to slow a little bit. So if anything, I would look at maybe an under there. It's 203.5. That's a pretty low number, though. Especially if you think Miami wakes up and hits some threes to keep this thing a little tighter, then the scoring likely ends up a little higher. Thunder expected to wipe out the Pels. Honestly, I don't know, because we don't really know a lot about the Thunder killer instinct. We do know the Pels are badly missing Zion. Total of 207 here. Again, this is a series that's been kind of chunking along. Last game, total was 210. It finished at 191 because the Pels couldn't score at all. They shot 38%. I hope that's better. But again, and 20 turnovers also. I mean, the pace was high enough for this game to actually have a few points. So it's a little surprising it finished as low as it did. Believe it or not, I might even lean a little bit towards the over, but then elimination games are goofy. And Lakers are in Denver, total of 216.5. Nuggets favored by 7. I would expect the Nuggets to be a bit more focused in this ball game. I don't know that the Lakers necessarily figured something out in the last one. It just seemed like they finally got some shots to drop, which didn't happen in Game 3. Did happen, actually, in Game 2, but they biffed it anyway. And, Lakers shot 52%, even without hitting a bunch of three-pointers. I can't believe that Denver doesn't come with a little bit better fire in this ball game. I think they felt like they could kind of coast for three quarters again and then win, and finally that method didn't work. So you're going to see a more locked-in Nuggets team. 7 is a lot of points, though. 216.5 the total. No thoughts there. I got nothing. Playoffs have been goofy for me so far this year. I haven't watched every game the way that I'd like to. A lot of stuff going on the personal side, just like 1,000 family things to attend to. That seems to go up annually. Why didn't somebody tell me this? Ah, well. All right, we'll go ahead and put a pin in things. We'll come back. We'll look at some of the other lessons learned from you guys tomorrow. Yeah, I think this is kind of fun. Did you learn a lesson? What was it? Feel free to continue to reply to that tweet. And maybe we'll get it into tomorrow's show. Who knows? I'm Dan Vespers for Fantasy NBA Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Thanks again to our partners at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Go check them out. You get 15 months for the price of 12 on a great, great VPN service. Very happy that they continue to be a partner with us here on Fantasy NBA Today. We'll see you again tomorrow, everybody. Again, sorry, no video on this one. That's why you gotta subscribe old school. Later.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.